I'd like for you to turn with us tonight to the book of 2 Timothy, the second chapter, beginning at verse 15 down through verse 21. Here the apostle said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God,
yes,
a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness.
That's right.
And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have ear, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." I want to talk about being a vessel unto honor.
Yes.
Now here, dear ones, the Apostle Paul, as he's speaking to Timothy here, he made mention also of a great house. He said, in a great house there are not only vessels of honor, but some also to dishonor. But I'm thinking about a great house. The Bible refers to the church as being a house.
Yes.
Like for someone to turn to the book of Isaiah, the second chapter, reading verses 2 and 3 for us, please. Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 2 and 3.
"It shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain.
Yes.
And shall be exalted
above the hills.
All nations shall flow unto it.
And
people shall go and say,
yes.
Come ye,
let us go up to the mountain of the Lord,
to the house of the
God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways.
We will walk in his
paths.
Out of Zion shall go forth the law.
Yes.
And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem."
And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now the house of God, the church of God is referred to as being the house of God. I believe also the Apostle Paul speaking mentioned that we have built up a spiritual house, a spiritual structure for the Spirit of God to condescend and to take up his abode and to dwell within our lives and within our beings. The house of God, the church of God, it is a great house. It's great, dear ones, in this respect because of its architect and builder. I believe the scripture said it, and the song poet said, organized by God the Father and built by Jesus Christ the Son. It's great because of the one that designed it. It's great because of the master builder that built it. I'm thinking, dear ones, also, the church of God is great because of its size. The church of God is universal. It's worldwide. It goes from land to land, from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth.
Yes.
It's a great house.
That's right.
It's a great church. Oh, it's great because of its beauty. The church of God is the most beautiful structure that exists. Out of spiritual things and natural things, it's the most splendid and the most beautiful of all structures that's in existence. It's a great house. But oh, the writer said, in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver. They're not only things that appear and of great value, but always said also there's wood and there's earth. There are some vessels to honor and some to dishonor. Now, I want to get an understanding here, dear ones. When we talk about the church of God, the church of God is pure, it's spotless, it's holy, it's clean. When we talk about the church of God, it's composed of saved men and women and boys and girls. But now, dear ones, I want us to get a picture here as we deal with the church of God. Sometimes people consider the congregation they consider the visible body that they look upon to be the church of God, see? And in the visible body, in a regular congregation, you may have 100 people that's in that congregation that people are saying is the church, when only it's 10 or 15 people that's actually really the church, see? Because the church is pure. It's holy. It's spotless. It's clean, see? So here as we consider, the Apostle Paul said in a great house, in the church of God, they're not only vessels of honor, and again, we're talking about the visible body here. You'll find within the visible body, you'll find within the congregations of the righteous, you'll find vain religious professors, you'll find hypocrites, you'll find tares among the wheat, see? He said it's not only vessels to honor, but some to dishonor. Not only those that's living a clean, spotless life that'll bring glory and honor and praise to God. Not only those that's submissive to God, God ruling and reigning in their heart and in their life. But there are those that bring shame. There are those that bring a reproach. There are those that bring a disgrace upon the cause of God. But Paul said, if a man will purge himself from these, if you'll separate yourself from those kind of people, dear ones, the scripture said evil communication will corrupt good manners. If we cannot, and we're not talking in a way that we're just casting people aside, we love precious souls, we want every soul to be saved, but it's the fact that if we can't help souls, they will hinder us. And we need to separate ourselves from those kind of people. Here, dear ones, the apostle spoke of Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said they had erred. They had gone astray from the truth. They were bringing in corrupt and false doctrine. And he let the people know, if you want to be a vessel unto honor, if you want to be one that's sanctified, one that's set apart for the use of God, one that the stamp of God's approval is resting upon, you're going to have to separate yourself from those kind of people, lest they influence you, lest they cause you to take up something that's contrary to the will and word and way of God, and actually lose your eternal soul. A vessel unto honor. Oh, as I think about this, dear ones, now we've talked here a little bit about the church of God collectively. But I want us to condescend in our mind. And I want us to get a hold now to this point that not only are we dealing with the church of God collectively, but let's deal with it on an individual basis. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17, please. Yes. Now the song poet said in song number 99 in verse 1, not in the temples made with hands, though beautiful by art, but God in mercy condescends to dwell within my heart. Individually, dear ones, each of us that are saved, we become the temple of God. We become the sanctuary. We become the tabernacle. We become the house of God, for God to condescend and take up His abode and dwell within our life. Each one of us that's saved tonight, we are a great house. We are a great house. Because God is dwelling within us. But again, Paul said in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, and some to honor, but there are some of wood and some of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, dear ones, as we consider this thought, in your life and my life, as saints of God, oftentimes there are qualities and things that we have on hand that God cannot be glorified in. I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm not talking about lying and swearing and things of that nature. But I'm talking about some things that we as saints of God can actually have on hand that will not glorify God, will not bring honor and praise to His name. And Paul said if we would be a vessel unto honor, if we would be that individual that will exalt God and lift Him up in the earth, if we would be that precious soul, dear ones, that's set apart for the sacred use of God, that He can choose us and use us wherever He would, whenever He would. He said we must purge ourselves from some things. There's something that we must do. In the book of 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in the 3rd verse. Every man that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In the book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter, in the 12th verse, the writer said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Folks, there's something that we must do. Now, God is merciful, and God is faithful to your soul and my soul. As we journey along the path of life, the Holy Ghost will put His finger upon things in your life and my life that will not glorify God, that will not lift Him up as we journey through this dark and sinful earth. God is faithful to show us ourselves and show us our needs. But once God shows us those needs, He's not just going to open the windows of heaven and pour out His grace upon us and give us victory in those areas. There's something we must do. We must purge ourselves. We must purify ourselves. We must work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. And to do that, number one, I must pray. It's needful, dear ones, that you and I pray. First of all, I believe the first prayer that we should pray, once the Holy Ghost has put His finger upon something in my life, and He revealed me to myself, and now I'm able to see myself, I need to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, I'm thankful for Your love. I'm thankful for Your mercy. I'm thankful that You would take such care and concern for me, that You would point out my faults. You'd point out those areas in my life that do not glorify You. I'm thankful, Lord, that You've shown me myself. And then we need to implore divine help. Lord, would You have mercy upon my soul? You've shown me myself. Maybe others saw it all the time. God for sure saw it at all times. And sometimes other people see us a lot better than we see ourselves. And sometimes the things that we have on hand is a hindrance to other souls that's looking up on your life and my life. And they see brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so doing certain things, acting a certain way, saying certain things. And it's a hindrance to them, see? And we need to begin to implore God's divine help. Lord, would You give me victory in this area of my life? I didn't know I was that way. I didn't know I was like that. Lord, would You help me? Would You bless my eternal soul? I'm working out my salvation. I'm purifying and purging myself. I want to be a vessel unto honor. I want to be sanctified, meet for the Master's use. I want to be prepared unto every good work. And so I'm purging myself by seeking God's face in prayer. And number two, I need to watch. It doesn't make any difference how much we may pray and how much strength God may pour down into our soul. If we're not alert, dear ones, if we're not circumspect, looking on every side, and regardless of how strong an individual may be, if the enemy can slip up on that individual, get an advantage of that individual, he'll do damage and he'll harm and he'll destroy. We need to be alert. We need to be watchful as we journey along the path of life. Oh, you know, as I thought about this, dear ones, it's really very seldom that a test or trial come your way or my way
without God having given us some previous warning. I'm thinking, dear ones, how just all, in a natural sense, people run go through an intersection and they run a stoplight when they have no need to run that light, see? Because it's very seldom, unless there's a malfunction, it's very seldom that that light is just going to switch from green to red. There's a warning signal. It's going to turn yellow, and you have time. You have a warning. And oftentimes, God give us warnings. I know personally, I know myself to some degree. And I know certain things that trouble me and touch my life and the way they touch my life. And oftentimes, God will work with me. And I can see this happening and that happening and that happening. And I know then how I'm going to act, how I'm going to react. If I don't seek the Lord and the Lord bless my soul, I know what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do. It's very seldom that trials come our way and take us by surprise, see? Oh, if we're watchful, if we'll be watchful, if we'll be alert, if we'll seek God's face earnestly and sincerely in prayer, God will bless our eternal souls, and He'll help us, dear ones, to purify and purge our souls, work out our salvation, that we can glorify Him as we journey through this dark and sinful world. Number three, after praying and watching, I must resist. It's not going to do me very good at all to pray and to watch and then not resist the devil, not resist the thing that's coming against me to damage my soul. Oh, may God help us as we journey through this dark and sinful world. I must fight the good fight of faith. I must resist. I must stand against those things that's not like Christ, that's coming against my soul. I want to be a vessel unto honor. I want to be sanctified, meet for the Master's use. I want God to be well pleased with my life. I want God to be able at any time to choose me and to use me whenever and wherever He would. Do you want to be a vessel unto honor? Oh, may God help us tonight, dear ones, as we journey along the path of life. Turn with us to the book of Colossians, the 4th chapter, and reading the 6th verse, please.
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man.
Paul said if we would be a vessel unto honor, we're going to have to purge ourselves from some things.
Yes,
in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, not only good qualities and good things in your life and my life, but oftentimes there's some wood and some earth. Oftentimes there are some things in our lives that God cannot get glory from, and He'll point out those things and give us an opportunity to work out our salvation and purge ourselves from those things. Now here the writer said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Saints, we need to seek God's face, that the Lord would help us daily in our speaking. As we talk to people, companions, husbands and wives, talking to one another, we need God to help us, that our speech be always with grace, that it be divinely assisted by God, that the love of God and be involved in our talking as we speak to one another, parents to children and children to parents, saints to one another, the saints to the Gentile world. As we talk to people, we need the grace of God in our soul. We need to be careful what we say and how we say what we say. I want to be a vessel unto honor. Let your speech be always with grace. Let it be seasoned with salt. Sometime, dear ones, we can speak in the heat of our spirit. Sometime we can speak fleshly. Now again, I'm not talking about cursing and things of that nature, but I'm talking about, dear ones, sometime we can speak sharply, we can speak a little harshly. We need to be very careful about how we speak to people because we want to glorify God, and we need God to bless us and help us as we journey along the path of life. Lord, I want to be a vessel unto honor.
I want to glorify your name. The Lord said you're going to have to purge yourself of some things. You're going to have to get some victories in your life. In the book of James, the first chapter, in the 19th verse, please.
Therefore, my beloved brethren.
Yes.
Let every man be swift to hear.
Swift to hear.
Slow to speak.
Slow to wrath.
Slow to wrath.
Sometime, dear ones, we get it a little turned around. And we're swift to speak and slow to hear. The Lord, we want the Lord to bless us as we journey along the path of life. Sometime, dear ones, the Spirit of the Lord will put His hand upon your life and my life. And the Lord will just simply let us know you talk too much. You talk too much. Now, the Scripture said, in the multitude of words that wanteth not sin.
Amen.
Sometime as we talk, dear ones, and again, not saying corrupt and wicked and sinful things, but sometime maybe just in a conversation, when that conversation is ended, maybe we feel empty, we feel like Jesus has kind of withdrawn Himself from us. I've talked so much, and I've talked about things that maybe were not really edifying and did not really build me up spiritually, even though it wasn't corrupt and ungodly things, yet I don't feel like I'm any closer to God from the conversation that I had. And I need God to help me.
Amen.
I need the Lord to help me.
Amen.
Oh, I want to be a vessel unto honor.
Yeah.
Lord, help me to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Help me to be able to govern and control my tongue. All right. In the book of St. Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 17, please. In a great house, not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. All right, St. Luke 17, verse 11 through 17.
And it came to pass,
yes,
as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee.
Yes.
And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off.
Yes.
And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed.
Yes.
And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God,
yes,
and
Lord,
fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan.
Yes.
And
yes.
Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There
yep.
are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.
Now here, dear ones, Jesus, in His love and in His mercy, He cleansed 10 lepers, but only one returned to give Him thanks. We're talking about being a vessel unto honor. Talking about purging ourselves from some things. Now here, dear ones, sometime God puts His hand upon the lives of different ones of us, upon my life, upon your life. And the Lord can help us to know that you have an ungrateful spirit. Not thankful, see? We're living in an unthankful world. We're living in a world, dear ones, when God bless precious souls and men and do things for us, and somehow we begin to feel like they owed it to us. I feel like God owed me a blessing. I've been living for the Lord. I've been faithful. I've been seeking to serve Him. I've been making sacrifices. So what God has done for me, the Lord owed that to me. People do things for us. We're unthankful. We seem to feel like they owe us something. Oh, may God help us as we journey along the path of life. We must purge ourselves from any ungrateful and unthankful spirit. Anytime God do something for us, it's because of His love and because of His mercy. And anytime others do something for us, we should be thankful that they thought enough of us to do the things that they've done for us, and we need to thank them for.
Amen.
Oh, may God help us. Do we want to be that vessel unto honor? Do we want to be set apart for the Master? Do we want to be one that God can choose and use whenever He desires to use us? Oh, saints, we're going to have to purge ourselves. We're going to have to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. All right. Sometimes there are attitudes that we can have, different kinds of attitudes. I think even just simply speaking, sometimes maybe someone can say something to you. And maybe there's no verbal response. You don't say a thing back. But the way you look at that individual sends a message. And it doesn't send a Christ-like message. We need God to help us. We need God to purge us sometime of the way we look at other people. The way we act toward other people, the things we say to other people, Lord, I need You to give me victory in these areas of my life. I want to be a vessel unto honor. I want to be sanctified and meet for the Master's use. I want to glorify God as I journey through this dark and sinful world. Oh, may God help us. In the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse, please.
Finally, brethren,
whatsoever things are true,
whatsoever things are honest,
honest,
whatsoever things are
just,
whatsoever things are pure,
whatsoever things are lovely,
whatsoever things are good report,
of a good report,
if there be any
virtue,
if there be any praise,
think on these things.
Amen.
We're talking about being a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, meet for the Master's use. Paul is instructing us, if you want to be a vessel unto honor, here are the things that you need to think on.
Amen.
Now, dear ones, when concerning our thoughts. Now, the writer said, whatsoever things are lovely.
Yes.
Now, there are many things that's lovely that I could think on and you could think on. But he said, if there be any virtue, if there's any excellency in those things, if those things will build you up in a spiritual sense, if they'll bless your soul and make you more like Christ, then you think on those things. Now, again, there are many lovely things that I could think on, and they're not sinful things, but there's no virtue in it. There's nothing in it that would benefit my soul and make me more like Christ. There are many things that's true that I could think on, that would not benefit my soul and cause me to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. He said if there's some virtue and praise in those things, if those things are going to bless your soul and make you more like Christ, these are the things that you need to think on. Being a vessel unto honor. Being meet for the Master's use. Being in a place where God can place His stamp of approval. He can smile upon your life and my life. Our life can be a blessing to those that's looking upon us as we journey through this dark and sinful world. Turn with us to the book of Genesis, the 13th chapter, reading verses 5 through 11, please. Genesis 13 and 5 through 11.
And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks,
yes,
and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together.
Yes.
For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land.
Yes.
And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee,
amen,
and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren.
Yes.
Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left.
Yes.
And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar.
Yes.
Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves, the one from the other.
Now, Lot had a little selfishness on hand, didn't he? Yeah. This man was selfish.
Yeah.
Sometime, dear ones, as the Lord deal with you and me, maybe the Lord sees some selfishness in our life.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost will put his finger upon that very thing. And he'll begin to point it out to us. He'll help us to understand that there's some selfishness in your life, that your chief interest is your own self. You're not interested in others as you should be, but you're too self-centered. And if you're going to glorify me, if you're going to be a vessel unto honor, then you're going to have to purge yourself from that selfishness. You're going to have to work out your salvation. You're going to have to get a victory over this. And you're going to have a care and a concern for others.
Amen.
A vessel unto honor.
Yes.
Sanctified. Meet for the master's use. Oh, in a great house, sometime there's some wood and earth. And those things need to be separated. They need to be purged out. We want gold. We want silver. We want those things that are precious and priceless in the sight of God. Those things that are pure and clean. Things that will glorify God.
Amen.
All right, in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 24 through 27. The writer said, Jesus speaking, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed.
Yes.
And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thy wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. This man was lazy in a spiritual sense. Lazy. Do you know sometime, dear ones, if we're not careful, we can be spiritually lazy. Spiritually lazy. I'm thinking of all the things that need to be done in the church of God and how the weight sometime fall upon such a few to get those things done. There are gifts and abilities among God's people, dear ones. I'm persuaded that the saints of God have great abilities. And there are gifts that's lying that could be used for the glory of God. If precious souls were not only, if they were not lazy in a spiritual sense, if they had some zeal about them, there are things that they could do that would lighten the load and it would cause the church of God to prosper in a greater way. It would be a greater blessing. But too often times, there are those that are spiritually lazy. And the Lord will put his hand upon them. They're satisfied to let brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and this one and that one bear the load. Oh, may God help us as we journey along the path of life. May the Lord help us. We want to be vessels unto honor. We want to glorify the Lord. So we need God to help us. We need to purge out that spirit of laziness, that spirit of slothfulness. We need to work out our salvation. We need to be up and about our Father's business. And that's every one of us, dear ones. Oh, as we stated before, every joint supplied. There's not an individual in the church of God that don't have something to do. God has something for every one of us to do. All right. Going a little bit farther to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter and the 11th verse, please.
Not slothful in business.
Yes.
Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
All right, now, here he mentioned not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Now, there are a lot of people that's not only lazy in a spiritual way, there are a lot of people that's lazy in a natural way. Now, if we're going to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, we need, dear ones, we need the Lord to bless us, to purge out and to get a victory over a lazy spirit. Oh, I'm thinking, again, going back to the home life, maybe in the home, the Bible teach that the aged women are to teach the young women how to keep the home and so forth. The home, dear ones, should be clean, not a pile of dirty dishes here, a pile of dirty laundry there, and the food uncooked and everything. Listen, the Lord want a people that's up and about their duties. And not only for the women. Sometimes the wife has to constantly get on the husband about keeping the lawn up, getting the yard cut, keeping things tidy around. The neighbors are looking on. The neighbors are seeing how we live. Listen, saints, we need God to bless us and help us as the people of God to be clean in our surroundings. Clean in our surroundings. But I thought also about our bills. Sometimes people are very slothful in business affairs. Not that they didn't have the money to pay the bill. It's just that here comes a darn, and you ask, well, didn't we pay that? Well, I intended to write that check, and I laid it aside. And this happens oftentimes. They intended to get the bills paid. Oh, we need to take care of our temple affairs. We need to take care of our business. We're dealing with the general public. Maybe those people may not necessarily know that we're saved, but we're still obligated to deal with them as God would have us to deal with them. Take care of our bills when we're able to take care of them. I want to be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, meet for the Master's use. Whether the people know I'm saved or not, God know I'm saved, and He know what kind of example I'm supposed to be setting.
Amen.
All right, in the book of 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, verses 24 and 28. Beginning at verse 24.
For Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening,
yes,
that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people came to any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in an honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint.
Amen. Now, Saul had a very critical spirit. Very critical spirit. Now, sometime, here what I'm dealing with is this. Saul, in pursuit of his enemy, and he had given command that no one should eat anything that day. He wanted to be avenged on his enemy. And here are the people pursuing after their enemy. And I believe later on it was told Saul, Saul, if you had just given the people dealings. So he charged the people, I don't want anyone to eat anything. Jonathan didn't hear the charge. And so it was that he put forth the tip of his rod, took a little honey from a honeycomb. His eyes were enlightened. And when they come back, dear ones, to camp, Saul heard about violence. He knew that there was something wrong. And so he gathered the people together. He said, whoever has eaten anything, they are going to be put to death regardless of whether it's Jonathan or who it is. He said, I want you to choose between the people and us. And so Saul and Jonathan were taken up, and they cast lots, and Jonathan was taken up, and Saul was going to put him to death just for taking a little honey. Oh, dear ones, listen, sometime we can have some critical spirits about us. I want to read a definition for the word critical. It said, inclined to find fault or to judge with severity. All right? Sometime I think how we can consider things. Here someone is doing something, and they've done, we look over 99% good. And I'm not talking about sin here, but I'm talking about just simple things. And again, this can go right back into our homes. It can be right among companions, parents, children. It come into the congregations of the righteous. It can be among the saints. We can be critical with one another, fault-finding with one another. Here the companion has done many good things, but we see the one little thing that was left undone, and we begin to criticize that. Those kind of things hurt. Those kind of things do damage. They can destroy relationships between husband and wife. They can destroy relationships between parents and children. They can break down relationships between the saints when we become so critical and fault-finding that we see every little wrong, every little error that someone make, but we hardly see the good. Oh, may God help us out as we journey along the path of life. Paul said, in a great house, there are not only vessels of silver and gold, but some of wood and some of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. He said, if we'll therefore be a vessel unto honor, oh, we're going to have to purge ourselves from some things. Dear ones, the Lord is faithful to your soul and my soul, by way of His Holy Spirit, to point out some things to us. As His Word is preached and taught, oftentimes the Lord will point out some things to us. As we read the Word of God in our private devotions, God will point out some things to us. As we seek God's face in prayer, oftentimes the Lord will begin to point out some things in your life and my life. And sometime He'll send someone along to tell us some things about ourselves. But all, regardless of how the message comes, when God enlightens your understanding and my understanding, and I can see myself as God see me, it's time, dear ones, that I purge myself, that I purify myself, that I begin to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, because I want to glorify God. Amen. I want to be a vessel unto honor.
Amen.
Amen.